I have very much enjoyed being with you. You folks have been very kind to me and my wife, and I thank you. Although I suspect one of your supposed kindnesses, maybe you're trying to feed me to death. If we kill them, we won't be able to come back. Amen. Y'all wouldn't be doing that, would you? Every single thing that was cooked for us was good. Very good. We sure much enjoyed it. Nice place to stay over there. You folks have been very attentive. You've listened to me, and most of you's come back. And thank you for that good singing. Thank you for that poem. The church that I pastored down in Alabama for 12 and a half years, I had a lady that sat on the front pew. Her name was Miss Holly Lord. She was a great saint of God, and she wrote poetry all the time. And God would wake her up many times in the middle of the night, and she'd write a poem, and she'd recite it during the service. And I always looked forward when she'd had another poem, and I have some at home. And she was just very good to me, and just a good lady. On up in her 80s, didn't look like it, had plenty of energy, and it was disappointing. She actually passed away while I was up here in Dyersburg, and had moved from that church down there in Alabama, and I wasn't able to go to her funeral, and I really hate that, because I love that lady. She's good, and she would read poetry, and playing the violin. You don't hear that much in church anymore. That's a great, great instrument. It needs to be played, and I just enjoy that. I enjoy playing the piano. You young folks playing the piano, the singing. You need to cultivate that. You need to try to get your youngins, instead of paying money for them, to learn how to hit a baseball. And I'm not going to try to get on that again tonight. But you need to pay a piano teacher, teach them how to play that piano. They'll do more for the Lord than we ever will hitting a baseball. Amen. I believe that. But I appreciate your pastor so much. Me and Brother Chase are so like-minded, so much on the same page. We look at things so similar. And I'm just glad God put us together. I hope in the future we can work together and do some stuff and get some things going for God up in my place, and I'm sometimes down here or wherever. Because I trust Him and I believe in Him. And you ought to trust Him and believe Him. He's a good man. He loves the Lord. And He means business, and He cares about you. He cares about you. He wants to help you. He wants to be a blessing to you. So I appreciate you being here tonight. Now, I've reached way back in the archives for this message. This is a message the Lord gave me, I think, maybe 20 years ago. And I used to preach it a good bit at revivals, and then I just, for whatever reason, I haven't preached it a long time. I actually went on sermon audio today. I was just curious myself, when did I preach that message? And it's got listed that I preached that message down in that church down there in Alabama where I came from, that you came to the pastor school in 2011. If I preached it anywhere since then, I just can't remember it. But I believe this is what the Lord would have me to preach here tonight. So I went back and got it out of the old biscuit file, as we call it. And blew the dust off of it, and here we are. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, if God ever was on it one time, He can be on it again. So let's go ahead and stand and take your Bibles here tonight. And I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 10.
Yes.
I feel so at ease here preaching too. It's a good calmness that comes over me when I preach here. No anxiety. That means a lot.
Yes.
I appreciate that. That's got something to do with you folks. You make me very comfortable. Even when I'm hammering you, you still make me comfortable. I appreciate that. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 10. Paul says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Brother Chase, would you pray for this here tonight, and everybody can be seated.
Father, Lord, we need your help, Lord.
Yes,
I want to thank you, Lord, for what's already been done here, Lord.
I
pray that people are getting help that they need in their hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would bless your preacher tonight, dear Lord. I pray that you would just anoint him from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. Lord, I pray that you put the right words in his mouth. Lord, fill him with your Holy Spirit.
Please Lord.
God,
amen.
Need you. Lord, if you don't do something here tonight, Lord, it won't be anything done that's worth anything.
That's exactly right.
And Lord,
amen.
We're asking
amen.
You, Lord, to get glory, honor, and praise. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would have full sway here tonight.
Yes.
And Lord, we would be yielded to what you say tonight. Lord,
yes.
We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I want you to pay attention to the verses that we've just read. And I want you to understand what's going on here. Paul is instructing the Corinthians to do that which they said they were going to do. And that is to give financially to the work of Jesus Christ. Now, everybody exhale. I'm not preaching on giving tonight. All right? Everybody all right now?
Amen.
I scared you there for a moment, didn't I? But that's what's going on in this text. He's saying, look, you said you were going to give financially to the work of the Lord. And now he's trying to get them to do that. And when you read in that passage, if you paid attention to what we were reading, he told you something in that passage. He said these Corinthians had decided a year previous to that point right then that Paul is speaking to them through this letter to financially give, and they had not done it yet. So listen, they had decided 1 year. 1 year had passed and they'd been talking to, yeah, we're going to give to the work of the Lord. Yeah, we're going to get in there. We're going to put some money in the kitty. We want to see something get done. We're going to support this thing financially. And Paul's coming back through here with his second letter to the Corinthians here, 2 Corinthians, and he says, look, a year has passed since you decided you were going to do this. And guess what has happened in that last year? A goose egg. Zero. Nothing. Now, this is where he gives them the admonition. He tells the Corinthians, he said, you've had a readiness to give, but that wasn't enough. He says there needs not only to be a willingness and a readiness to give, but a performance. That's what he said. You just need to do it. That's what Nike says, ain't it?
Yeah,
just do it. Well, Nike, who cares about Nike? But I care about what Christ says.
Amen.
He said through His Holy Scriptures here, we just need to do it.
That's right.
So the title of my message tonight is this. Good intentions are not enough. Good intentions are great. Listen, I preached on your heart last night. First of all, I preached Monday night about you taking an introspective look at yourself and saying, Lord, is there something wrong with me? Is there something you need to deal with me about? That's a good starting place for revival for anybody. We'd all agree with that. And then I said, look at your heart. See what you love more than God. See what's taking a place in your heart that you need to get out. And so we examined our heart last time. And then tonight I want us to look at this. Maybe my heart's right. Maybe I have the right feelings. Maybe I have the right emotions. Maybe I have the right desires. Maybe I have the right want to. But I'm not done anything with it.
Right. Amen.
Now listen. It all needs to start with good intentions.
Yeah.
It needs to start with the right passion and the right emotion and the right want to and the right desire. It starts there. But if it ends there, it's not enough.
That's right.
It needs to go from my mind and my heart to my hands.
Amen. Amen.
Sitting on a pew thinking about what you ought to be doing gets nothing done.
Amen.
I'm glad if you feel good about revival this week. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed that great singing. I hope you enjoyed some of the preaching. I hope it's a blessing and a help for you. But 2 weeks from now, what are you going to be doing with it?
Amen.
That's the question. What are you going to be doing with it?
Amen.
It's not enough just coming here and say, hey, man, we got a visiting preacher. I don't need to come hear him. He's about half crazy. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
There ain't no telling what he might say. Y'all come on and let's fill the church up to listen to it. I don't want you just to listen to it. Bless the Lord on my soul. I want you to do something with it.
That's right.
The Bible says there needs to be a performance.
Yes.
Good intentions are not enough. I want to run this thought across to you, and I hope this will burn in your heart here tonight. A few things. Number one, here we go. People have good intentions when it comes to salvation. Now, I know this is Wednesday night, and I hope everybody here is saved, and maybe there's somebody here that's not saved. I don't know. But I want to tell you something. Good intentions won't get you saved and into heaven.
That's right.
And I've heard people say, well, I'll get around to it. I intend on getting saved, and some other time I'm going to get saved. I'm going to trust Christ eventually. And right. I've been thinking about it, preacher, and I just ain't ready. But I'm thinking about it. Well, they've got the rest of their life just to get saved anytime they want to. First of all, that's the Spirit of God dealing with you. You're not going to get saved because you're not even going to want to get saved.
That's right.
But when that Spirit of God is dealing with you and drawing you and showing you your lost condition and convicting you,
yep,
that's the time to get saved. Another thing to think about, how do you know He's going to convict you anymore?
That's right.
Listen, there's a shut-off time for everybody.
Yep.
There's a deadline. There's a deadline for everybody. There's a time everybody... How do you know that somebody, one of us, is going to leave here tonight and we're never coming back to church again?
That's right. Amen.
How do you know God's not going to call you home tonight?
Amen.
Do you realize how presumptuous it is to look God in the face and say, I'll do it later. I know you want me to do it now, but I'll do it later. And God's up in heaven looking at you and going, you fool.
That's right.
You, who do you think you are to look at me or tell in your heart or with your own mouth and say, I'll do what you want me to do now, later? Like you're in control. Like you're going to make yourself live and make yourself survive and make yourself thrive. And we don't even have to think about it that God may take us home. Not, listen, this could possibly be the last time somebody in this church hears the gospel ever.
That's right. Amen.
Ever.
Yes, sir.
Good intentions are not enough when we get you saved. The road to hell is paved with what, church? How many times have you heard that? Well, it's true. You may be sincere about your beliefs here tonight, but you can be sincerely wrong. If you think saying a certain prayer and flipping the beads is what's going to get you in, and Hail Mary, Mother of God, and all that kind of stuff, you may be sincere, but you're going to hell when you die.
That's right.
If you think getting in that water right there and getting in that baptism is what's going to wash away your sins, you may be sincere about that, but you're sincerely wrong. You're going to hell when you die.
Amen.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
You may be very sincere about doing good works, but if you're trusting in works to get you into heaven, you're going to go to hell when you die.
Amen.
Good intentions and sincerity and all that kind of stuff will still land you right up in the lake of fire.
Right, brother. Yes, sir.
You've got to believe that gospel. What is that? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
And that I can't save myself. He did it all. He paid it all. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, the Bible says, but according to His mercy hath He saved me.
Yes.
You'll get through Jesus Christ. That's the way you'll get salvation. You'll trust in Him and Him only and completely in what He's done, or you're not going when you die.
Amen.
You will not go to heaven when you die.
That's right, brother.
And you can be very sincere about what you believe, but if you don't believe and trust in Christ and believe that when He... Listen, these folks say, well, he's just narrow-minded. Oh, narrow-minded Baptist preacher. Ain't got nothing to do with me being narrow-minded or me being a Baptist preacher. It's got something to do with what Christ said in His book. What did Jesus Christ say about it? Anybody care anymore? That's what I want to ask him. Do you care what he said about it? He said, I am the way. He said, I'm the truth. He said, I'm the life. He said, nobody comes to the Father but by me. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. How about that? That Bible says there's one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. It's not Mary. It's not a preacher. It's not a pope. It's not a church. It's not a denomination. It's Jesus. You and I are at odds with the Father, and the only thing that's going to reconcile us with the Father is Jesus.
Yes, sir.
That's the only way you're going to heaven here tonight. And you can have all kind of good intentions about it, good feelings about it. I've been thinking about it. I've been mulling it over, and I'm going to get around to it, preacher. Oh, you just wait. I'm going to get around to it. No, you're not.
That's right.
No, you're not. You're going to wind up in hell thinking the thing over.
That's right.
If you're lost here tonight, won't you come get saved? Won't you be saved? Won't you just trust the blessed Savior? Let Him wipe all your sins away. Know that you know that you know when you die, you're going to go be with Him. Boy, amazing grace will mean a little bit more to you. When we all get to heaven, it'll mean a little bit more to you. Why don't you get saved tonight, man? It'll make two preachers happy. I can't jump around anymore like Chase can, but I'll do something. Amen. I'll kick the pulpit over. I don't know. Some churches, that thing's a shrine. So
no, sir.
I don't feel like it is here.
Amen.
Good intentions are not enough, though, when it comes to salvation. Number two, church. Number two. People have good intentions when it comes to serving God. They have good intentions when it comes to salvation. They have good intentions when it comes to serving God. I intend on getting back in church. How many times have you ever heard that, Brother Chase? I'm going to surprise you, brother. I'm going to be there one Sunday. I'm going to surprise you. I'm thinking, yeah, it'll be a surprise if you ever show up.
That's right.
I know I need to get back in church. I intend on doing it. I'm going to do it. You know, when softball season's over and work changes and hunting season's out and then turkey season's out and then I've been feeling well, and then when that's over, there's always going to be an excuse not to be right.
That's right.
And you can sit there and you can even be sincere in your heart. I mean business, man. I mean business. I'm getting back in church. I'm getting back in that Bible. I ain't read it like I ought to. I'm going to get back in my daily Bible reading. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to show up and try to knock on some doors and win some people to the Lord. I'm going to get back in, preacher. I'm telling you. Yep. You're sincere in your heart. I'm not doubting your sincerity. The 6 months passes, and the year passes,
that's right.
And 2 years passes, and 3 years passes, and you're still in the same sorry shape that you are.
Right,
maybe
brother.
Some of you tonight.
Yes, sir.
I want to help you.
That's right,
and I'm trying to get this across to you. Do you need a good feeling about it? And I know you don't go on your feelings, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Do you need a good spirit in your heart about it? Do you need a good motivation about it? Do you need a good passion about it? Of course you do. Does it start within your heart? It should, or it's not going to be a good work anyway.
Right.
It should start in your heart.
Yes.
You should be impassioned about doing something for God. But if it just starts as an emotion and a feeling and a think, if it just stops there,
right.
You've done nothing to help the cause of Christ.
That's right. That's right.
Good intentions are not enough.
Amen.
Now, I'm not preaching on giving tonight. I really ain't. But what about if everybody said, you know, I intend to put something in the offer plate. I intend to... You know what I feel like sometimes? I feel like some people go to Baptist churches. I don't know about everywhere else. I'm a Baptist. I feel like they think there's a church fairy. They just magically flies around everywhere and they get the lights on.
Yeah.
They get the heating on and they get the cooling on. Then she flies over there to the piano and gets all that and gets everything straightened out. When all the bills come in, she flies up there to the electric place and gets that paid and flies over there and gets the garbage plate and then flies out there and gets the yard cut and flies out there and fixes this. And she's just flying around, just a cute little fairy, just fixing everything.
Yeah.
She's spending her money and her time and her resources.
That's right.
That's called somebody don't do anything.
That's right. That's
why you think the church fairy's doing it.
Yeah.
Little Tinkerbell church fairy flying around doing everything.
Yes, sir.
Somebody's paying for these lights to be on here tonight.
Amen.
Somebody showed up for you come in here at the last minute and got the lights on.
Yeah.
Somebody's doing it. Listen, you know what I believe, Brother Chase? I believe if everybody in their church, I don't care how big or small it is now, it don't matter. Pull their weight, nobody would have to do a lot and everything would get done more. There'd be a lot more done.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Nobody would have to give a whole lot or do a whole lot or anything a whole lot. Everybody pulling their weight.
Amen, brother.
But it's the same few that does everything, it seems like, in every Baptist church I attend.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what size it is. Good intentions are not enough when it comes to serving God.
That's right, brother.
How many times do you and I have you seen in revivals, and maybe some of we go to the altar, you recommit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ after a sermon? And I believe a lot of people go to and they have the right motive. I believe they intend on doing right. But they get out of the building, go back home and flop down in front of the TV and this happens and that happens and the emotion of the moment's gone and the revival's over and it's 2 or 3 weeks now removed from revival and life starts hitting you in the face.
Yep.
And listen, you never follow through what you told God you'd do right there.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Good intentions are not enough.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get this church on the right road for God.
Right. Amen.
And if this church is on the right road for God, and I do believe that it is, it's not going to keep it on there.
That's right, Brother Dennis. Yes, sir.
What I'm wanting you to get to tonight, I've already preached to your heart 2 services. I preached about your heart 2 services. What I want you to do here tonight is get your heart right, get your emotions right, get your feelings right toward God and toward the work of God. But then tonight I'm preaching about doing something.
Yes.
Acting upon it.
Amen. That's right.
Good intentions will not get anything done. That's just number 3. I have found in my life that people have good intentions when it comes to sin in their lives. When they have good intentions when it comes to salvation, they have good intentions when it comes to serving, They have good intentions when it comes to sin, as far as addressing sin.
Right.
Getting it out. A lot of people are sincere about their New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
A lot of people are sincere about starting a diet, but I know you messed up. I know you messed up when you talk about, listen, I've been on a bunch of them diets, so I know. I got your number.
Yeah.
Anytime you hear a fella say, I'm going to start a diet tomorrow, he don't mean business. You said, brother, this, you ever said you're going to start a diet tomorrow, every single one of them. You see what it's done? That's funny. You can laugh about that. I'm going to start a diet tomorrow. You know what I heard folks say? Well, I'm pretty sure I just went to the store and I bought this six pack. When I drink this six pack up, then I ain't buying no more beer. You liar.
Amen.
You think you're not lying, but you're lying like a dog.
That's right.
By the time you get to the end of that six pack, you're going to say, boy, that's so good. I'll buy one more, then I'll quit.
Uh-huh.
I'll buy one more, and then I'll quit. I'll buy one more, and then get on down the road, you ain't even thinking about quitting no more.
That's right, my brother.
I'm going to smoke this last pack of cigarettes, and when I do, I'm going to flip that cigarette out that window going down the road, and I ain't never going to smoke another one.
Right.
You're going to be smoking like a chimney this time next week. You're going to smoke more next week than you've ever had. You know why? You said what you're going to do. You talk what you're going to do. You just blah, 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 blah. Just talking, but never doing.
Right.
Never doing. Anytime you put something off to do tomorrow that God's told you to do today, you don't mean business.
That's right.
You don't mean business.
Amen.
You don't mean business if you know God says, stop it now.
That's right.
And I say, God, I will. I'll stop it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah.
You're not having revival.
That's right.
Amen. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean?
Amen.
You picking up what I'm putting down?
Right.
Have I got the cookies on a low shelf where the kiddies can get it?
Right.
Everything real simple where you can understand it?
Amen.
That's what I want it to be. Listen, I know people, they want to change, they desire to change. They hear a message, they know that message is right. But when they leave that church and the emotions and the moment's gone, they never change. And let me just tell you something. There is not going to be any real, true revival without church-wide and individual repentance.
That's right.
I know that's a nasty word nowadays, but it's still in the King James Bible.
Yes, it is.
Repent means to change your mind. That should lead to a change of heart.
Right.
And on down the road, get you to do something different.
Right.
Repenting is changing my mind about something. And it should have, if I really changed my mind about something, it should affect my heart. And if my mind and my heart's affected, somewhere down the line, I ought to be changing what I'm doing.
That's right, Brother Dennis. Yes.
There has to be repentance.
Yes.
Christians need to repent.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Some of you need to repent over the things, not just that you have been doing, but the things you haven't been doing.
That's right.
The Bible says, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is a sin.
Yes.
The things I know I ought to be doing in this church, and I talk about how I'm going to do it, I think about how I'm going to do it, and I don't do it, I'm sinning.
That's right.
I'm not asking you to repent for drinking moonshine and smoking dope and fornicating and all that. If you do that, God has told you need to repent of that. That's obvious.
That's right.
I'm asking you to repent as a church tonight of not doing those things you know God wants you to do.
Right.
You can't have revival if you don't do it.
That's right.
Repentance. People have all kind of good intentions about addressing sin. I'm going to say this.
Amen.
God sees your heart. And if it's going to take a church full of perfect people to have revival, we're not going to have it.
That's right.
You don't have a perfect preacher. You don't have a perfect pastor. We can all just go home. But see, God sees your heart. And the truth is, God knows who means business here tonight.
Yes,
and He knows who really wants this and who doesn't.
That's right.
He's got all of our numbers here tonight. Everybody, He's got our numbers.
Yes,
and I'm telling you something, if you mean in your heart that you want to transition from an emotion and a passion and a feeling into an action,
yep,
God knows it.
Yes, sir.
And he'll be very understanding when you don't always follow through. Listen, when none of us follow through 100%. All of us sin and fail God. All of us are miserable failures sometimes. I will be the first to admit it. But you don't quit. You don't. Listen, that Bible says that a just man falleth 7 times and rises again. You know what that Bible says? It's a just man, a righteous man. It's not a man that don't fall. There's no men like that. Only Christ is the only man that ever walked this earth that didn't fall. He says a just man, he'll fall 7 times. That's the number of perfection. It's maturity. The mature, complete man is a man that will fall, but he won't stay down. He'll get back up. I know there'll come times when you're not as fresh as you ought to be. I know there'll come times when you don't have a burden for people and God like you ought to. I know there'll be times when you're really serving more than others. But when you get to that point, you find your place at the altar and you don't get up until you do business with God and you change and get back in the fight. So people have good intentions when it comes to addressing sin. One more tonight. I have found that people have good intentions when it comes to settling undone tasks, restoring relationships, calling someone who is sick or seeing someone who is sick and you don't get around to doing it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
They're not going to be there forever.
That's right.
Amen.
Every time I've ever preached this, I've been preaching this message for a long time. But when I get to this point in the message, every time, the Lord bears witness with me. I figure He's fixing to do it now. Some of you got a relationship with somebody. It ain't right. And God told you to call them. Maybe you ought to write them. You need to go see them. You need to go visit with them. I'll get around to it. I'm just being busy. I'll take care of it. You know what's going to happen to you? I've seen it. Listen now, you better listen to this preacher. I've seen it over and over in 25 years. I've been preaching and pastoring. You're going to get a call in the middle of the night. It's going to wake you up in the middle of the night. On the way to the phone, you're going to go, God, help me. God, help me. Ain't no way it can be good this time of the night. You're going to pick that phone up, and every opportunity you ever had to restore that thing is gone.
Amen.
You've wasted it.
That's right.
Well, I got good intentions, preacher, and I know I need to call her. I know I need to call her. I know I need to go see him. Too busy, are you?
Yeah.
Just too busy. Just got too much going on.
Yes, sir.
The next time you see him, you're going to be staring at him in a casket. And the bad thing is, you're going to remember that night that pudgy preacher from up there in Dyersburg came out here and preached this to you.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And you had a chance to do something about it.
Amen.
I've seen it happen over and over and over and over in my ministry. And it's a very sad thing to see people experience. Why didn't I do it, preacher? Why didn't I do it? What am I going to say at that time? I try to comfort them. I try to be there for them. But they know they've blown it. And they know any chance of restoring the thing and having and reconciliation on earth is gone forever. Do you know what I believe? The worst kind of procrastination there is spiritual procrastination.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what I've seen about men in my life, because I was raised with some rough characters. I'm raised around men that work hard and just tough and rough and bad. And it's a common thing the way I was raised up down there in South Alabama. You'd hear men and I'm always bragging about their work ethic. I work 75, 8 hours a week. I come up with nothing. I was poor. Look what I've done. Look how I've done this. Let me tell you something, sir. God could have broke your back 25
yes,
years
sir.
Ago and three places and you never hit another lick at it.
Amen.
If you've ever earned anything, it's caused the grace of God.
Yes,
but those same men that are bragging and make fun of other people because they call them lazy because they don't work 80 hours a week, they won't spend some time with their wife and their youngins.
Amen.
Those same people are spiritual zeros.
Yes, sir.
And they brag about how much they work and how hard they work. Let me tell you something, fellas. Listen to me tonight.
Amen.
The worst kind of laziness there is, and the worst kind of procrastination there is spiritual laziness.
Amen.
Who cares if you work 80 hours a week and you give God no hours?
Amen.
You're messed up. The worst kind of laziness there is spiritual laziness.
Amen. Amen.
that wife and that youngin needs more than your paycheck.
Yes, sir.
They need you to lead them.
Yes, sir.
And love them and be there for them.
Right. That's right, man.
I'm sick and tired about men telling me how tough they are and what kind of work ethic they got and what they've done and what they've accumulated. Blah, 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 blah. Shut your mouth, man.
Amen.
Shut your mouth. If any of us have any type of intellect or physical ability to do anything on this earth, God gave it to us, and just as sure as He gave it to us, brother, He can take it away.
Yes, He can.
And don't be running your mouth talking about how much you've done and stored up and worked and accumulated and progress and all that kind of stuff when you don't do nothing for God.
Amen.
I don't want to hear it.
Amen.
Worse than that, God don't want to hear it.
That's right.
Who cares what I want to hear, but God don't want to hear it. Some of you need to go ask somebody for forgiveness. Some of you need to try to get the thing reconciled. There's coming a point you're not going to be able to get it worked out. People have good intention about settling undone tasks. Listen, don't neglect something. Let me tell you what I've learned. If you own a house, when the thing starts tearing up, you need to fix it right then.
That's right.
The more you neglect to fix it, the worse the thing gets, and the more money it's going to cost you. Well, I ain't got the money to fix it right now. Well, you better go borrow it. Because you're fixing to pay more in the long run. This procrastinating and putting stuff off spiritually, you're going to pay more. Listen, you're going to pay more in the long run with God than you're going to have to give up or pay right now to fix it now.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You need to understand that. Good intentions about an undone task are not enough. Listen, good intentions are not enough. Now you say, is there any passage in the Bible that may illustrate and bring home what I'm trying to get across to you? Well, I believe there is. And I want you to turn to that tonight and I'll be finished. Would you take your Bible tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And I want you to know what Jesus Christ says about two brothers. And I want you to ask yourself here tonight and be honest now. Which one of these brothers is me? Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and he went. He came to the second and said, likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now you know what he's telling you there? He's saying, the ones of you that said, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't, but you repented and said, I will, God's happy with you. But the ones of you here tonight that said, I will, I will, I will, I will, and you don't, God's upset with you.
Yes, He is.
Good intentions are not enough. May God burn that in the heart of this church and in the heart of every Christian here tonight.
Amen.
Every head bowed, eye closed. Every head bowed, eye closed. We're going to have our final invitation and time to come to the altar in this meeting this week. I'm going to have the musician and the pianist to come. Just play and sing whatever they think God wants them to play and sing. And I'm going to ask you here tonight if